Today on Real Radio.
Someone's praying, but someone else is over here kind of babbling words beneath their breath or under their breath. And that's very distracting. Can I say it for all of us, the rest of us? It's horribly distracting to the rest of us. We know your heart, but in a setting like that, that's prayer to God. You should be quiet. You can do that silently.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section in chapter 14 today that deals with what was then a controversial issue of the day, and it seems like not much has changed since then. The issue is speaking in tongues. Controversial? Yes. But as we see in Paul's writings here, the issue really transcends whether or not we're to speak in tongues or in what context. It's ultimately to glorify Almighty God and for our edification. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a series called God-Ordained Priorities.
He says in verse 9, understand. That word means when we speak, our words should be well-situated. The word means well-placed, to slip easily into. The word means effortlessly sliding into place when we speak. This is fun. This gets exciting. This word implies, frankly, I think the word demands that when we speak as believers, we speak in such a way that it causes a person to have to make a decision, that there's such a clarity regarding what God is speaking through the believer that the person listening has to come to some sort of a decision. Listen, those of you who are Christians and you are serious about your relationship with Jesus, have you noticed that there's certain family members they don't want you talking when you come to Thanksgiving dinner? Have you noticed that you have certain friends or family members who they don't want you to be with them when it's playtime, when it's goof off time? They don't want you to go with them to the river. They don't want you to go with them to Vegas. You want to know why? Because just the thought of you causes them to feel convicted. Oh, he knows God, and I'm in Vegas, and what happens in Vegas, I want it to stay in Vegas. I don't want them to go with us because it won't stay in Vegas, because if they're there, then it's going to remind me that God is there. And you see what I'm saying? There's a clarity to that, and there's a usefulness. And in the same token, when someone's hurting, when someone is injured, when someone is hit, their lives are taken over by the evils and sin of this world, the usefulness surfaces this way. They call for you. Listen, your family that doesn't want anything to do with you because you're a Christian, don't worry. Something's going to happen in their life, and they will call you. Why? Because the Spirit of God wants to make you useful in the kingdom of God, and he wants to have you be filled and used by the Holy Spirit. And when you speak, we are to speak words that are easy to slip into. That is, the words go easily into the hearer's mind. Somebody asked J. Vernon McGee years ago, many of you have probably read this. They would say, Mr. McGee, your sermons are too simple. A woman came up, I read him yesterday, a woman came up to him at Church of the Open Door in L.A. when he was the pastor there, and a woman came up and said, Mr. McGee, even my son, my nine-year-old son, she says, even my nine-year-old son can get stuff out of your messages. You're so basic. And she said that, you could tell that she said that, to turn the knife a little bit, to dig into him. And he said, ma'am, listen to this. He said, ma'am, you just gave me the greatest compliment. Because, listen, he said, Jesus said, feed my sheep, not my giraffes. Isn't that a great line? No, Jesus says, feed my sheep. When you witness, when you talk to people, don't go to your friends who don't know Jesus and say, would you like to consider the eschatological, theological reasons why. No, don't do that. And by the way, that's a trap. Speak to them plainly. Paul says that's necessary. The second thing is in verses 10 to 20, and that is God-ordained priorities, is that we understand. Verses 10 to 20. Now, what's interesting in this brief portion of Scripture, six times he mentions the word understand or understanding. He's getting an argument across. Verses 10 to 13, we learn this, that God-ordained priorities is that we understand our work as believers. He says, there are, it may be, verse 10 to 13, so many kinds of tongues in the world, worldly languages, earthly languages, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, that's good, look what he says, let it be for the edification, building up, we studied that a couple weeks ago, of the church that is at large that you seek to excel. Verse 13, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Very simply this, we don't need to belabor it. Regarding the gift of tongues, you and I do not have the priority to say that it is to be exalted above other gifts, or we don't have the priority to say it is no longer a gift. That comes from denominational persuasions created by men. The Bible says it exists. The reason why we push back from it is because of its abuses, and that all comes from the ignorance of Scripture. And we'll know this, as I said earlier. But Paul here clearly says that when we come together, we should be together in such a way in a corporate gathering that when we leave, our edification and our understanding of having been in a church service is increased. You should never, listen, and I have to say this gently because many of you don't know the conversations I have with people after services since we got into 1 Corinthians. I'll just paraphrase a bunch of them into one statement. It's been like this, and it's been great. Pastor, my friend invited me. He told me that you were going to be talking about this. I don't go to this church, but I go to another church. And quite frankly, I've heard more about the gifts and the organizational use of the gifts coming here in a matter of weeks than I have at years in my church. And so I'll be coming back during this portion of Corinthians. Also this, the church that I attend, when the pastor gets up to speak, by the end of the service, we can't tell you what he said. Now that's a violation of Scripture because your pastor is supposed to be a teacher. You can't be a pastor without having the gift of teaching. You're supposed to be able to leave that service by the Holy Spirit using that man to teach the Word of God. It's a biblical gift. And I said, well, why is it that you leave and you don't know what the pastor said? Because she said people are all across the sanctuary speaking in tongues and carrying on, and you can hardly hear yourself think. Listen, church, that's wrong. That's not biblical. There is to be a work that God would have us to do, and it is to be orderly. The gift of tongues, as I said earlier, should assist you in entering in more fully in a worshipful life and privately in a prayerful life. Savonarola said, when prayer reaches its ultimate, words are impossible. Think of that for a moment. You say, what are you talking about? If we get only this far this morning, this may be good enough. Hear me. Listen. And it'll be more clear in the weeks ahead. Are you guys listening? Yeah. This is like mechanic stuff. This is like going to the doctor stuff. This is good. We need to do this. By the way, you ever take your car to the car repair place? Because that's how I feel right now. I took Lisa's car in this week, and they said that they would do it while I waited. And so I took a couple books, and I'm reading, and I thought, this is a total waste of time. So I'll take some books. What's happening? The car had to be serviced. The car had to be serviced for me to even get home in it. But I redeemed the time because I took some good books, okay? That's what's happening here right now. We need to talk about what I'm going to talk about. It's good service. It's good service for our engine. Regarding this, regarding it in prayer, I hold a particular view that I've only read few people holding, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying this is how I understand the scripture. Are you ready?
Do I get your attention now?
Regarding tongues, I clearly understand that the gift of tongues is to be exercised in a group, and it must always be interpreted or else it should never be spoken. That's what the scripture says. And that the person speaking in the tongue has absolute control, so much so that we'll learn in the weeks ahead that if someone is not present with the gift of interpretation, the person with the gift of tongues no longer or does not operate that gift, but sits silently or prays in that tongue to himself, to the Lord, or he can pray for an interpretation from God regarding it. And then God gives the green light to use it. That's clear in scripture to me. What may be controversial or not so clear is this. I personally, after reading the scripture, I do not believe that God would give some Christians the gift of tongues to have a better prayer life and other Christians not have a better prayer life. When I read the scriptures, I hear Paul talking about, are you with me? I hear Paul talking about heavenly languages and known earthly languages that the speaker does not know. He's never been taught those languages. One is to be used in a public setting, must have an interpretation. Or the person speaks like in the day of Acts, book of Acts chapter 2, and people understand the language that the guy is speaking. Or there's that alone language that you speak in prayer to God. I don't believe that's a gift. That's the controversial part about what I'm saying. I don't believe a private prayer life in a tongue is a gift. I believe it's an opportunity available to every believer if they want to exercise that. You say, Jack, I can't believe you just said that. You know what? Go ahead and study it. Why would God say, for example, Jim, I want you to have the ability to pray more effectively than your wife, Robin? I don't believe that. I'm not talking about the gift of tongues. I'm talking about your private prayer language. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm a Baptist. I don't even know what you're speaking about. There is the ability given, I believe, to every Christian. Remember you who raised your hand a little while ago? Have you ever gotten alone with God and prayed? Watch this. You get alone with God and you pray. And let's think about your child is sick. Your child is sick and you've prayed. And have you ever felt that you just have not gotten through, yet you don't know what else to say? You will only experience that if you're a person of prayer. When you come to the wall, that's what I call it personally, I will pray, Lord, please heal my daughter. Oh, God, please heal my... Man, I remember my daughter, Ashley, my youngest, when she was 8 months old, she was at St. Jude's Hospital, and she was dying. They gave her a 50% chance to live. And I remember Lisa and I praying, and I came to that point where I was just praying, and I just said, Lord, I don't know what else to say. And in my mind, silently, I just prayed and I just began to cry out to God. And it was in my head, words, I can't even rightfully even call them words. And I'm telling you that in my mind, I'm talking to God and you're saying, Jack, what are you saying? I don't know, but he knows my heart. I don't know what else to say for her. I have prayed every prayer I can formulate. I've called upon every verse I know and lifted it up before the Lord on behalf of my daughter's health. They just told us she's got 50% chance to live. And I just silently, no lips moving, just... And I, let me tell you something, in 5 minutes, I can't explain it, there was a descending of calm, unexplainable, peace, in the midst of the storm, unexplainable, an overwhelming sense, you can stop praying now. I've heard you, Jack. I have heard your cry. Didn't the angel come to Daniel in Daniel 9 and say, your prayer's been heard, Daniel? I'm going to answer your prayer. There was a time when God said, okay, I've heard you, I'm answering. Why do we pray and we so little oftentimes expect an answer? I think, listen, Christian, I'm not asking you to believe my words on this. You go study it on your own. I believe that God has invited every believer, every one of his children, to go get alone and pour your heart out to God in that prayer, in that prayer of a tongue, you can call it, or an unknown language, and you go get alone. Nobody will hear you. You go get alone. You say, I'm going to feel like a fool. Yes, you will. Initially, for the first time, you'll feel like an idiot. By the way, you can do it silently if you want. Listen, there's times when I'm teaching when I know God's taken over, and I will start, when that happens and my mouth is moving and you're hearing words, my brain, I'm not asking you to understand this, but every teacher of the Bible knows what I'm talking about. Where you, I can relax and I'm praying in that unknown, I'm praying, my mouth is going, and I'm learning. Listen, I'm learning from what's coming out of my mouth, even though it's in my voice. It's not me. I'm learning. It's 1,000% biblical. I'm blown away. You may not have gotten anything from it. I go home, wow! Because I know. And by the way, when God does that, I love it, because you know what? I'm the pastor of the church. It all started in the house. I mean, we started with 6 people. I watched it go all along the way. And I, you know, can't walk around like this. Oh, I'm the pastor. You know how people get like that? By God not intervening in their lives. Because it's all of them, they think. Oh no, when God takes over, I'm the one that crawls back home and says, God's awesome, God's amazing. I get more blown away than all of you about anything when God's the one doing it. And so I want to challenge you, you pray like that. And it's going to be hard. If you've never prayed like that before, you go get alone. And it's funny, there's nobody around, and you're going to be going, what do I do? God, I don't know. This is so stupid. This is dumb. And you can do it in the silence of your own mind and pray your heart out. You say, Jack, you're nuts. If this is nuts, then I love it. Because let me tell you something. When somebody comes up and somebody says, you know what, my baby just died. Dear God in heaven, give me the words to say to this person. Dear God, help me. Lord, help me to reach them. And you start praying, and then it's just, you know what? I can't formulate enough. My English fails me. That's private prayer life. Some people in their zeal, I know this, we've all had this experience where we're praying with people. Somebody with good intentions in their zeal, in a group setting, might start praying, and someone's praying, but someone else is over here kind of babbling words beneath their breath or under their breath. And that's very distracting. Can I say it for all of us, the rest of us? It's horribly distracting to the rest of us. We know your heart, but in a setting like that, that's prayer to God. You should be quiet. You can do that silently. We would all appreciate that. And it's biblical that you pray like that, but you pray silently like that. Interesting, huh? You guys okay? Yes. That's good. We're to understand our work. And Paul is saying that we need to conduct ourselves as Christians in a sense that we are edifying the body of Christ. Listen, what comes out of our mouths should edify one another. You know what? Let's be honest. No one needs to tear one another down around here. We tear ourselves down just fine, huh? Wouldn't it be kind of cool if we just start saying, you know what? In the spirit of edification, think about that. In the spirit that God has called me to exercise whatever gift I have by the Holy Spirit, no matter what it might be, the things that come out of my mouth should edify you. I should be speaking things into your life that build you up. You say, yeah, but you know what? That person's this or that person's that, or what about this and what about that? Listen, do they know that? Does everybody else know that? Is that my job, is to do that to them? The Bible says that I'm supposed to listen, edify someone. That's not compromise. When a child is struggling with something, you don't walk up to your 9-year-old son and say, what are you, a dope? When the ball goes across the plate, you swing the bat. Don't do that to your kid. You kill him. Oh, he may be able to stand there, but you kill him on the inside. Because the next time he swings and misses the ball, His spirit's crushed. You tell your son, listen, I don't care how many times that ball goes across the plate. You keep swinging. When it feels, looks just right, and this is how you identify, you keep your eye on that ball, and you get squared up, you get nice and ready, and when it and you let it fly. And listen, if you miss the ball, just make sure you got a great swing. If you miss the ball, work on your swing. And let me tell you something, son. There's going to come a time when that ball connects with that bat, and it's going to be the sweetest feeling. Run like a freak. Get to first. But if you say, if you miss that ball one more time, I guarantee you, it'll just destroy him. As believers, man, we need to say, so what? You've tried out for four ministries and you failed at each one? What kind of a loser are you? No, don't do that. Say, man, that's awesome. You are full of perseverance, man. You tried being an usher, you didn't like that. You tried being a parking lot guy and almost got ran over by these people trying to leave. I hear reports. We need to pray for our parking lot people. I can tell you that's what happened to me. I was an usher at Costa Mesa, and I served with new believers. I was in the Saturday gardening team, weeding team in the parking lot. And I'm thinking, I was just willing. I didn't know what to do. I was just willing. So Pastor Chuck would make an announcement. We need weeding people in the parking lot on Saturdays. I thought, eventually, I'm going to find out where my gift is at. I was shocked to find out when they said, we need Sunday school teachers. I thought, well, I've tried everything else around this church. And they gave me five-year-olds. And I had those 5 years old for 3 years. It was amazing. I loved it. I don't know what they got out of it, but I loved it. And from there, I began to discover God wants me to teach. It was very cute, too, because when this church began to take off, I said, Pastor Chuck, I don't know if I should be doing this. And he goes, you taught five-year-olds here at Costa Mesa. If you can teach five-year-olds, you can teach adults. I don't think that's true anymore. But anyway, five-year-olds are easy. It's you guys.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at a section of 1 Corinthians 14 where Paul addresses the issue of speaking in tongues and how they are to glorify our Maker and edify the believer. God-ordained priorities. That's the title of this lesson, which is part of a miniseries, and that means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you might have heard Pastor Jack say this in the past. He says, if you don't know Scripture, you'll never understand the conflict in the Middle East. It's true. You know, if you and I are left to our own devices without really knowing God's promises to historical figures like Abraham and Joshua, or without knowing the prophecies of Daniel and Zechariah, which are all recorded in Scripture, we might just walk away with an opinion that really is quite opposite of what the Word of God tells us. And so, we're offering a DVD called What's Really Happening in the Middle East. It's a presentation that was recently aired on Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our TV program on hischannel.com. We hope you were able to catch that broadcast, but if you missed it, it's called What's Really Happening in the Middle East. That's the title of this two-part presentation on DVD. Now get this, we're offering it to you for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Don't let what's going on in the Middle East confuse you any longer. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And click on the banner right there that says, What's Really Happening in the Middle East? realradioactive.org. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send a gift of any amount to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, when you call, click, or write, be sure to mention the DVD by name, What's Really Happening in the Middle East. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.